What is up, guys? FrugalBC coming at you live, and we got some very interesting news around HBAR and Algorand today. Some good and some bad on both BlackRock, State Street, even Starlink partnering up with HBAR. Good to see on the Algorand side. Major news around Algorand's CTO. It was a short tenure. We'll get into what happened with Nick Bougalis on Algorand, and we've got a new... We've got actually really good news, though, because there's some great stuff around account abstraction, wallet abstraction, which I think is one of the most important narratives in crypto right now. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Lots of Algorand and HBAR and Chainlink news. Some really good stuff around Chainlink, including Chainlink and Canton. Canton Network, one of the darlings right now in terms of revenue and getting some stuff. So... volume. I don't know what you mean when you say volume. It's coming out pretty well on my... let's see here. I mean, I can turn the gain up a little bit. How's that? A little better? I see it looks louder, so okay. Yeah, so let me know where... Tell me where you're tuning in from. You know, just... You know what? I'm going to pull it up just to make sure. Just to make sure we got some volume here. Got it. Sorry, just give me a second. All right, I'm seeing better now. Okay. Okay, seems to be doing all right. Okay, we're back. All right, lots of people got a kick comment, but it seems to be pretend. Got someone from Chicago in the West Suburbs. Welcome from the Windy City. Woody in Vermont, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. And William MCD, thanks for being in the chat. We'll be getting to that news. It's actually Starlink, not SpaceX, but we'll be getting to that news a little bit later down. We'll see that in our HBAR segment. Since we started that, let me know where you're watching from. I always like to hear where people are coming from. That's really fun for me. And it's been nice to see... Oh, we got a little shout out there, a little wave, alien wave there. I appreciate that. Okay, well, I guess we'll just get to markets. I'm going to get right into it, not waste much time. But if you have not already hit that like button, please do so. It helps share the channel to more people, and that's what we like to see here. We like to get more people in on the conversation. Hitting that like button on YouTube really helps bring it out to other people. If you're watching on Kick or Twitch, do that as well. Yeah, I can see that, Whitey in Vermont. I'm guessing I can tell where you're from. So, but yeah, hit that like button. As I always say, you don't have to smash it. You can just press it gently. It works just fine that way, too. Kind of our little catchphrase here on the show. And subscribe if you're not already subscribed, so you can see all our videos. And these are available as a podcast as well. So if you prefer to listen on audio or you want to listen to it again, I maybe you can't get enough of my voice. I think you probably should get go to a doctor if that's the case, because there might be something wrong. But if you like to hear me nonstop, then you can listen on podcast. You can find it on Apple, on Spotify, just by searching FrugalBC, and on pretty much every podcast platform we're out there. And we also just post, we've been posting a newsletter, frugalbc.beehive.com. That's BEEHIIV. Because why make it easy for people to find? make your name as complicated as possible. I will say I don't love the Beehive platform, but I didn't want to publish it on Substack anymore because I really want to keep that separate from my other business. So, well, you guys are really tuning in. I appreciate that. So, like I said, gently press that like button. That's what we like to do on the show. And I'm trying to think if there's any other housekeeping. You know, I give a big shout out to Haystack. I've got kind of a new method for description, so I have to work that in. Getting that in the link, but I'll add that in the comment after first comment afterwards. Big shout out to Haystack. Trading on Algo done easy. Highly recommend them. We'll get to them when we get to the coins too, but let's... Speaking of, why don't we just get to the markets, because we got a lot of We got three news segments to get through, and they kind of take a while. So let's pull it up on our, hold on a second. There we go. And get some green candles on the 1 hour, but down a little bit on the 24 hour. It's been a very interesting time with the war in Iran, causing some chaos. Everything kind of crashed, including the stocks, then popped back up, and it's a little choppy right now. So, you know, if you're dollar cost averaging, you probably just stick to your strategy. If you're looking for downturns, we're kind of in choppy territory. Ethereum sitting below 2,000 now. Bitcoin above 68. So we had hit 70. You know, it's obviously pulled back a little bit. Not so bad, though, on the weekly chart. Actually, a lot of stuff doing fairly well on the week overall. XRP at $1.37. BNB at $6.34. A lot of stablecoins getting into the top 10 these days. And Tron is up there too. Dogecoin in the top 10. Cardano in the top 10. By the way, Scott Melker had a pretty interesting breakdown of the number 11 through 20. And I thought it was a pretty good, little write-up. I was kind of bummed because now Hedera sitting at 23. You know, previously it had been in the top 20, so it would have been nice to see that get a little bump up, you know, could have got a little bump from Mr. Melker, but we didn't get that. So, oh, by the way, if you're watching on Vertical, please let me know in the comments, because I don't really have a way that I can think of to check whether it's actually working over there, whether people are seeing it. I assume people are seeing it. I just don't know how to check that at all. So, well, look, Solana's even got a little animation in their logo. That's kind of neat. I don't know. Let's see who's doing the best on the 24-hour. That belongs to River at 30-some percent up. XDC is up 6.6. Where's Bobby Jonas in my chat? He's always shilling XDC. I haven't seen him in a long time. One of my favorite trolls, I guess. Near Protocol at 4.3%, Mantle at 3.74% up, Chili's rounding out the top five at 3.3% up. And then we got Unisat, Leo, Aptos, and Just Morpho in Midnight, but these are very, very small gains on the daily. We'll probably see more on the weekly. Unisat, Leo, the interesting thing about this one is that it usually tends to be kind of running counter to the market. And that's something you can use. You know, you can buy it when the rest of the market is up and then sell it when the market is down. Well, I keep getting these, I get nothing but spam comments on Kick. I never get like I rarely get a real comment. Same with in Twitch, I just get nothing. Once in a while, someone chimes in. We had actually someone pretty active on Twitch talking, and that was kind of cool. And then who's up on the week? I'm guessing it's going to be River, since that's 103, almost 104% gain. It means if you had River a week ago, you just doubled your money. That's pretty good. And Near Protocol, 38.4% up, which sounds like a lot, but I will tell you my average buy was around 207, I think. So I'm still below that. Could be a buying opportunity for Near at this point. Building out a strong, they've been talking AI before anyone else was. I give them credit for that, because now AI is probably one of the strongest narratives in crypto. Agentic payments, they're just going to be a huge unlock for crypto, especially for chains that are fast and have low fees. Let's see, Virtual's Protocol at 22, almost 23% up on the week. Jupiter, platform on Solana, 22.6. Polkadot, where'd you been, Polkadot? Polkadot used to be one of the darlings in the top 10, not anymore, 21.4%. Was it top 10, or was it maybe, it was always up there. I might be wrong about that. I don't want to misspeak. Morpho, 21.6, Layer 0 at 20.49, Hyperliquid, I can't argue with Hyperliquid at almost 19% up, Aptos, 17%, and again, Unisat, Leo, 15. As I always point out, well, let's look at 24-hour. On the downside, who is not doing so well? It is Pippin down, followed by Ave. I heard there's some drama around Ave. I just really could not get to the bottom of it. It's one of those things on X where people talk about the thing, but they don't actually explain the thing. Green Blue says, I wonder what this means for BRCS currency. Yeah, you have to explain that a little more. You know, I don't really get the comments in real time. So if you're gonna reference something on the stream, you got to kind of spell it out. Otherwise, I don't know what you're talking about. MemeCore, 8.86%. Pump.Fund, 7.5 down. Kite down, 6.87%. Followed by Lighter, Stable, Cardano, BitTensor, and Dogecoin. Even our HBAR, you know, I've often point out that Hedera and Algorand are rarely in the top 10 for losers or gainers. But here, Hedera getting pretty close, still at 9.5, almost 9.6%. And I believe that is a higher price than Algorand, despite having five times the supply. That's a little concerning. 7-day losers is also Pippin at 41% down, almost 42, followed by PayPay. And PayPay was like, no one, you remember when PayPay came out, no one could stop talking about it. It's just blah, blah, blah. The store around the corner. Got you. Staking. Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Cosmos down 12%. Yeah. Cosmos, you know, Cosmos was one of my big ones in 2021, just took off. Probably should have locked in a little more profits than I did. One of my lessons. Kite down 10%. That's kind of one of the almost 11%. That's one of the new ones on the block. Zcash privacy narrative not holding up at the moment. Almost 11% down. Monero was doing actually kind of strong, as I recall. Polygon 8.71% down. Shiba Inu 8.7. Lighter 7.86. KuCoin, haven't seen much of that. That is down 7.6%, and Bitcoin Cash down 7.5%. Now, this came about during the blockchain wars, which I was only vaguely aware of at the time, since I just kind of gotten into, I just bought my first Bitcoin in 2017, so, and Ethereum and Litecoin. I bought those three, and you know what? I should have just bought a ton of it and sat on it. I would have way more money than I did, I would have now. But I took profits and I locked in wins. I just didn't get back in at the right time. That was kind of the mistake. Yeah, so interesting. Definitely an interesting market. And like I said, generally speaking, Algorand and Hedera and Chainlink too. You actually don't see Chainlink in the top 10 for losers or gainers as much, although it does happen sometimes. Whitey in Vermont says, I almost bought some Jasmine. I believe that the circulating supply is all out and low. It's used in China, I believe, for decentralized transactions. You know what? Why don't we just take a sec and let's check that out. Let's check out Jasmine. Because, yeah, I haven't heard. I used to see this all the time. I haven't heard anybody talk about this coin in a very long time. Up ever so slightly on the day. Whitey in Vermont says, I also got into the market in 2017. Very cool. Yeah, there's a lot to learn. You know, it takes some cycles to figure things out. Here's month. It's down 4% on the month. What's it doing on the week? Vasika from Kick says, you think the NASDAQ will come down big time this year? That's a very good question. And we mostly cover crypto on here, but I do focus on, personally, I invested quite a bit in, well, I shouldn't say quite a bit, but I invested in NVIDIA, did quite well in 2023. That one's held strong. I think the AI, you know, to me, the play on AI is to buy the shovels, not necessarily the mine for gold, so to speak. In other words, there's a lot of people in the gold rush who made a lot of money as outfitters, and they would sell supplies to the gold miners, probably made a lot more than most people mining for gold. And NASDAQ, very tech heavy, so hard to say, because AI is kind of disrupting tech right now. It's disrupting software, but then some of the stuff has bounced back. So pretty hard to say. Appreciate getting a comment on Kick, though. We don't get too many of those. Happy to have that here. So here's what we're doing. Like I said, Jasmine right now in the top 115. Waiting Vermont says, nothing bothers me in the crypto market now. I've seen it all, hands of stone now. That's what you got to do, you know. Crypto is kind of investing on hard mode. I mean, most people should probably start with index funds, to be honest, and start building up a base of index funds, because you got to get used to seeing your money go up and down. Nothing prepares you for that other than doing it. You can read every book you want. And it's kind of like jiu-jitsu. You can... you know, you can read all the books on jiu-jitsu that you want, but until you get in there and start rolling with people, you don't know what you're facing until you do it. You got to kind of do it. And I think it's the same with crypto investing. You kind of have to do it. You have to get used to seeing. You have to have the stomach to buy when it feels the worst. When it feels the absolute worst. Bitcoin, the pedo coin, he's back, says ISO 20022, only the rest will be gone. Well, oh boy, do I have to go on my ISO 20022 rant? I might actually have to do that. All right, I'm going to try to give the short version. I've talked to many people who work for the coins, who work for these projects that are supposedly ISO 20022 compliant. And by the way, there is absolutely no such thing as a coin that is ISO 20022 compliant. It's just not a thing. It's a totally made up narrative. Now, that doesn't mean that the coins that are featured there, like Algorand, Hedera, XRP, etc., won't be good for cross-border payments, which is, I think, what they mean when they say that. But there's not a compliance standard. And I've been told this by John Woods when he was the CTO of Algorand, the newly departed CTO of Algorand, who worked for XRP before that, also was on record saying that. The CEO of Algorand has been on record saying this. And these are chains that would benefit from that narrative. It's absolutely nonsense. So yeah, Whitey in Vermont says, I was told ISO 20022 means nothing for crypto. You are correct. You are correct. Not a thing. Now, what John Wood says, he says, well, Algorand is not compliant. In other words, it's the idea of compliance is just complete nonsense. And so you can, adapt. So the way it would work out, because ISO 20022 is just a bank messaging standard. It's just a new syntax that replaces the old SWIFT standard. And a dApp, say built on Algorand or XRP or Cardano or whatever, could use that syntax and probably would if it was a dApp that was aimed at, you know, banking, right? I'm not the first person to point this out, but it was a pretty big deal because I had been talking about this ISO 20022 compliant coin thing too, because like you see it everywhere. It wasn't until I saw the CEO of Algorand, and shout out to JT Invests in You. I don't think he's been too active anymore, but he had an interview with Stacey Warden, the CEO, and she's like, yeah, I don't know where this comes from. And this is a pretty, you know, breaking thing for me. I was like, holy crap, you know? So I did some research, and yeah, it turns out kind of a false narrative. So, you know, like I said, these apps, you know, it just has nothing. There's just nothing about ISO 20022. Whitey in Vermont says people on YouTube tend to try and get clicks and promote coins by saying stuff about ISO 20022. People search for it a lot. I've done a lot of debunking videos. And I think the narrative, it's interesting because the narrative kind of disappeared for a while. All of a sudden, for like probably a good 6 months, you didn't see anything about it. And then all of a sudden it started popping. It's been popping up again lately. So I don't know. Anyway, that's Jasmine. What's the volume? It's not bad volume. 23.2 million on a daily. Not bad. Not great, but not bad. Manfred says HBAR is a tier one project And it's the wrong tier, but that's okay. Still very undervalued. Greetings, and yeah, bless you from Holland. Well, we'll forgive you for the misspelling then. I shouldn't be such a jerk about that. No, I appreciate that. I appreciate you watching from Holland. That's awesome. Very cool. Anyway, let's get to our Algorand coins, and then we'll get to our H4R coins after that. A lot of green on the 7 day. That's nice to see. Rauer says ISO is only a false narrative for coins that do not move money in the banking system. No, it's did you not just hear my explanation, Rauer? It's just a fault. The idea of an ISO 20022 coin, compliant coin, there's nothing to be compliant for. It's a bank messaging syntax standard, and it just replaces the old SWIFT standard. But it doesn't mean that those coins can't move money for the banking system. That would happen at the DApp level, and the DApp would probably use that syntax. Anyway, I'm not going to rehash that. I just went through that whole thing. You can rewind if you need to. Alpha Arcade up 13% on the week. That's pretty good. Actually, let's see who's pumping here. Something called Sus is back. I remember this one. Maybe I'll have to sell off some of my Sus because it's back and it's pumping. I have to take a little profits on that. Something called Link. I'm trying to go. Oh, Choice Coin is back on the. We're just going 24 hour. Kita Inu doing pretty well. 13.86%. Kita Inu's got some. We're going to cover that in our news segment because they got some pretty cool projects coming up. Balsec is 11. Wow. Nico is up too. Ghana is up. Something called Crazy Cock. Oh, you can't win. I swear. Yeah, a lot of these are just like, you know, they're not even worth talking about. They're just goofy. The Compex token actually is up a little bit, quite a bit on the weekly. Let's see who's doing well on the weekly. Green Blue says, I expect another pump for folks before a new, not yet announced distribution, just like the last distribution where we wicked $240, $50. Well, I look forward to that. Yeah, look at Sus. Up almost 300%. Now, I thought this was a rugged project. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't want to speak out of turn, but I find that a little strange. A lot of Compex token. A Compex, like, to me, just, I think they tried to do way too much. They had a huge hack and totally crashed the market. The XUSD coin, like, it had already been having struggle. It already struggled being pegged. Staying pegged, it was always like this dollar coin was basically always like 93 to 95 cents, and then it just tanked to like 2 cents or something like that. You gotta be careful with this stuff. Whitey Vermont says, gotta do laundry, nice chatting. Let's go HBAR and Flare. Well, hey, appreciate you tuning in. Well, we'll have more. You'll have to come back and watch the live stream replay, or we'll have, I usually clip them and make them their own segments. Bonk on Algorand is up 30-some% on the week. But I'm not seeing Alpha Algo. What is Alpha Algo? I haven't even heard of that. All right, well, let's go back through some of the top ones. See if I do this. I think it'll just reset them, yeah. Otherwise, a lot of red on the top of the chart for the daily. You know, some of these ones like Tiny. Tiny at 0.24 cents. Remember, this was 2.5 to 5 cents trading at about a year ago, so that one's just been on a slow, steady decline. But 13% up for Alpha on the week. Haystack up 11% on the week. That's good to see. Let's see if there's any ones I care about. Folks still sitting at $1.22. Wrapped Bitcoin at 5. Voltcoin at 2.6 up on the week. All these are slightly red on the daily. Go ETH. Donkey DAO up almost 15%. Green Blue says, with how pissed Charles is at XRP, it makes me think I might need to set up my XRP bag, as disgusting as that sounds. Hey, I got XRP. I bought it at 53 cents, and I'm still well over 2x on it. And I was up, what, 5x at one point? I took some profits for sure. Pheasant Pluckers, up almost 20%. Okay, Well, that's our Algorand coins. I think that's interesting. Got a new one. So these guys actually pay for a boost, by the way. So that's why they're on the top. Algorand with the asterisk on it. That's a reference to someone in Ethereum who apparently didn't want to type the full Algorand name. People kind of from the Algorand community went crazy. By the way, Haystack, a proud sponsor of the Frugal BC channel, and we appreciate them a lot. So thanks so much for that. Let's go over to SaucerSwap. Not a sponsor yet, but you know what? I think someday they will be. I really do. Let's see what our Hedera tokens are doing. We only see the 24-hour. One thing I really hope they add, I would love them to add a 7-day. Because you're seeing a lot of down, but I bet weekly they're up, you know? Let's see. Yeah, most of them seem to be, some of them, like Dovu. Dovu's down like 8%. We got some really positive news on Dovu to share, which is, so I'm a little surprised to see that. Hashpack is up almost 12%, and same news, by the way, just a little bit later. So we'll get to that in our HBAR segment. Otherwise, everything just kind of down a little bit. Just looking for some outliers here. Wow, Goldcoin on Algorand down 12%, probably copying gold in general. Jam. We highlighted Jam last live stream because it was way up. Now it's down almost 18%. Whew, that's not good. Smack M is down 8%. That's kind of a big down. And I got XKBL is up 4%. So that's nice to see in a sea of red on the daily. Ultra HCHF is up almost 5%. And XPAC at almost 15%, just like PAC was. StickBug down a little bit. Oh, we got a new one on here, VAC, and that is down 5%. I like StickBug. I think that's so cool. I don't know why, that just amuses me. All right, that is our Hedera section. Quite a few people watching, so if you have not hit the like button already, you can press it ever so gently. You don't have to smash it, but we appreciate that. Helps get the show out to more people. I'm going to take a drink of water. Yeah, we got three news segments to get through, so we're gonna head to those next. Let's see. Let me get those set up. Let's see. 23 watching on X. I used to get so many people watching. So many people watching on X. It actually used to be my biggest category. Now I get way more people on YouTube, which frankly I would prefer because I actually get more money from, I don't get any money from X really. I mean, I am monetized on X, but it doesn't really bring anything in. I got my first payout and then I haven't gotten a payout since. Like you just need to do like really crazy big numbers. Also, like I never write articles on X because I hate reading that. I don't go to X for articles, you know? Not really sure what's going on in quick. Actually, I'm going to check really quick. I'm just very curious. So give me a second. I just want to see how I'm doing on Kick and Twitch. By the way, if you're watching on either of those platforms, give us a shout out. We'll definitely give you a little highlight. We got a couple of people watching. That's cool. How about Twitch? And then we'll get to our segments, I promise. Lots of cool stuff coming. Sorry, it's a little slow as it loads. I kind of wish I could just see the number and not load everything else. Yep. One person, and that might be me. So, yeah, definitely. It's tough to grow on those platforms. I think we get it mostly on YouTube, and you know what? That's okay. That's okay with me. So let me set up. We'll do the Algorand segment, and then we'll get to the HBAR segment. Well, Algorand folks, I have some good and some not so good news for you in this latest segment. The good news is some great news around wallet abstraction, a new tool that I think is going to be a huge unlock for the Algorand ecosystem. The bad news is the new CTO, been there about 6 months, already gone. And we kind of speculated this on Friday. On Friday, people started noticing. I noticed that Nick Bugalis, who is the Algorand CTO, had come from XRP and Ripple, suddenly didn't have anything about Algorand in his bio. He didn't have the badge anymore. And some people, and people really hadn't heard from him in a while. He hadn't been on any of the community calls. He hadn't been participating in any of the ecosystem. People wondered what was going on. I put out a tweet saying, hey, this is what's happening. I don't know anything for sure, but this seems suspicious. Well, we found out on, was it Monday? Found out on Monday it was true. Actually, Sunday, I take it back. Found out on Sunday it was true. Nick Bugalis no longer with the Algorand Foundation. So here it is right from the Algorand Foundation themselves. Update from Algorand engineering team. Bruno Martins, Vice President of Engineering and Chief Architect, will step back in as acting CTO. Martins has been a core leader at Algorand for years and was instrumental in advancing our roadmap. We want to thank Nick Bugalis for his contributions and the perspective he brought to the protocol during his time with us. Very short time, by the way. I just want to put that. We wish him the very best in his next chapter. The team is heads down in building. Stay tuned for more updates. Well, and Nick Bugalis weighed in on himself. He said, well, I am no longer at the Algorand Foundation. Let me just say that the Algorand protocol is fantastic. The technical team at Algorand Foundation is also fantastic and passionate. I enjoy working with and remain confident in all of them. Stay focused and keep building. Now, the main thing that we haven't seen, why is he no longer at Algorand? You know, nothing from the Algorand Foundation said why, and nothing from Nick B says why. So Algo Scout, who's one of the people who helped me suss this out, and shout out to Algo Scout, said, why did you decide to leave? Assuming this was your decision. For some reason, I am not able to click, which is kind of... All right, here we go. Now it's working, I think. Nope, that is not what I clicked on. And they're all messed up. Great. Okay, hold on. Sorry about this. Every once in a while, it just kind of freaks out on me. Meanwhile, Greenblue says years, like 6 months. Didn't I say month? Did I say years? I meant months. 6 months. I don't know if did I accidentally say years. Sorry about that. Yeah, he comes from XRP. People in the chat talking that, did I say, I guess my earlier segment, I talked about XRP, you know, I think the narrative is strong. It may not be the best. All right, so let me pull this back up. Here we go. Sorry about that. Did he respond to Algo Scott? No, he did not. Wow, that was fast as F. He said he got there like the other day. Yeah, it was about 6 months. Oh, the Algorand Foundation said, did they say years? I don't see them saying that, but yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was about 6 months that he was here, already gone, not really giving Algorand Foundation going through executives quicker than Hezbollah is going through leaders. Wow, that's not going to touch that one. What are your thoughts about the non-technical team? Well, that's a good question too. Now, what were his contributions? I'm not really sure. I'm sure he had some. It's interesting that they didn't really list any of those contributions, saying, hey, he did this or that. I mean, when we talk about John Woods, we could talk about tons of things that he contributed. And I don't know about that. So anyway, that is, come on again. Okay, hold on. I'm going to reset this. Yeah, so we really wonder what the heck this was all about, because not really getting a lot of clarity. He's not the only person to step down either. I'm going to have to make these in new tabs. So just give me a second. not the only person to step down, as we saw. Okay, we can't. After almost 4 years, I'm no longer at the Algorand Foundation, says Stéphane, I don't know, it's French. To me, it's still the best protocol with serious builders and dedicated teams behind it. I'm grateful for my time there as ARC manager, and I'll continue cheering on the ecosystem and now heading back to the builder side. So another person leaving. We got two people gone. Now, a lot of people. Subi San says, clearly he's being paid to say this. XRP will run global finance liquidity pools. Like, dude, it's all over. A lot of stuff about XRP. We're talking about Algorand here. I don't know where all the XRP stuff is even coming from. I mentioned it, like, briefly about 10 minutes ago. But whatever. Anyway, yeah, so that's kind of a problem. And we've got this, it's a very troubling news from Algorand. But we got good news, too, and I want to cover that next. Let me find that. Oh, you know what I can do, actually? Hold on. This will take a little longer, but it'll... All right. Yeah, that's not going to work. This is much, much better, I think. So this is something I think will be huge. Algorand Foundation says you won't need a new wallet to use Algorand. We're shipping cross-chain account abstraction that lets MetaMask, Rainbow, and basically any EVM wallet plug straight into Algorand dApps. No custody tricks, no shared signature risk. Your EVM key authorizes an abstracted Algorand account. Abstractions are signed in a strictly isolated Algorand domain using structured signing, so these signatures are useless anywhere else by design. For builders, we wired RainbowKit into the transaction use wallet. That means near universal EVM wallet support in an Algorand dApp with minimal config. End state land on a dApp, connect your existing EVM wallet, bridge in an app if needed, start using it. So, blah, 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 blah. What does that actually mean? It means anyone who has a crypto wallet of any kind can come on and start using Algorand dApps. And I wrote about this. So let me pull this up. This will just take a second here. I wrote about this in my newsletter, which is frugalbc.beehive.com, if you want to check that out. BEEHIIV for Beehive. So here's the main thing. Actually, hold on. There we go. For one, as I say, it could mean a flood of new users coming into Algorand dApps. They just increase their total addressable market, or TAM, by orders of magnitude. I mean, that's obvious, right? You just made it easy for anyone outside of the Algorand ecosystem who has, you know, any kind of EVM wallet. They can come in and start using Algorand stuff. Which could mean a big increase in users and revenue for Algorand companies. And for those who have revenue sharing, like Alpha Arcade, as I point out, that means that can really benefit us OG Algorand holders because, you know, like Alpha Arcade, you hold the Alpha token, you get a cut of the fees. So you got more people using the chain, it's more fees, that's more money for you. That's good stuff. It also means new wallet creation metric is kind of pointless. Now, this is sort of a counterpoint, right? Because Algorand has been touting this metric as a sign of growth. You know, they show, oh, new wallets, new wallet creation. Well, they're not going to have that metric, I don't think, because it's going to be people who already have wallets. And lastly, it's a major step in the right direction for crypto. When you used your iPhone or Android phone today, did you marvel at its flash technology? I meant flash memory. I should have fixed that. Or did you write code in Terminal to use it? No, you didn't. You just started using it, right? It's exactly what you need in crypto. People don't want to download wallets. They don't want to like deal with all the abstraction and all that silly stuff. They just want to start using it. That's how it works. So I said markets haven't given us much to be excited about. The technology keeps improving. One day markets will follow, we hope. So I think this is the huge unlock. So we got more from D13. And this is we are working on an EVM to AVM account abstraction system. This means that you'll be able to use your MetaMask, Rainbow, or any EVM wallet to interact with Algorand dApps natively, which is pretty much what we just talked about. The vision is visit a dApp, Connect any EVM wallet, no funds welcome to bridge funds in without ever leaving the dApp. Minimize the bridge process dialog and browse while you wait. It only takes 2 minutes to bridge from base. And sneak peek coming this week with Pilot Partner Alpha Arcade, which is what I want to show you, which they talked about that too. Alpha Arcade says, huge, we've been blessed to try this out and it works insanely well. We are making predictions on Alpha by signing on MetaMask, coming to production soon. I assume that's what prod means. Thank you, D13. Greenblue says, starting to think King Seitu will be licensing the tech and abandoning the token. Things like Alpha would do better than Algo. Well, that's very well possible. Some other things this week on Algorand. I joined the waitlist for Akita Inu built on Algorand. And I want to show you what this is. Yeah, I think we'll have to just pull this up. Your rules, your content, your wallet, your content, your rules, every post, vote, and reply is a direct payment between people. Content rises based on what users spend, not what an algorithm decides. No ads, no engagement farming, just direct value exchange. Akita is one of the oldest ASAs or, you know, coins on Algorand. It's been around since pretty much the beginning, and they're building some real utility here. One of the things I really like is there's like a subscription service. I think we'll get to that. Yeah, social nano payments. Posts cost 100 Akita. Upvotes cost 10. Paid directly to the creator. Content rises by economic weight, not algorithmic curation. Smart wallet. Passkey wallet secured by Face ID or fingerprint. Plugin system. Composable smart contract modules. Social staking. Marketplace. Subscriptions and more. Agent, AI agent infrastructure. Agents operate in dedicated subaccounts with their own budgets and permissions. Your value stays with you, not a platform. The thing I think is really cool here is subscriptions, on-chain recurring payments for creators and services, revenues flows to both providers and governance stakers. They're going to have NFT Marketplace, Infinity DAO, Impact Score, and Hyperswap. There's the marketplace. So I don't know. I think a lot of these things pop up, and I think they tend not to work all that well, but I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that for sure. Now, this I thought was really cool. So Marco, usually an HBAR source for me, but in this case, he says, two signals for Algorand that matter. One is developer tooling, the other is institutional product flow. Two signals stood out to me this week. One is happening inside the AI developer workflow. The other is showing up inside regulated product structures. They point to the same direction from different angles. The first signal is tooling. Glow Plausible announced a Claude Code Algorand plugin that aims to make Algorand native inside the development environment, not just something you connect to from the outside. That matters because agentic workflows fail when context is weak. If an agent does not know what tools exist and how to use them safely, it wastes time and tokens by guessing. Context and standards are what make agents reliable. And we've highlighted Go Plausible a number of times. Absolutely fire protocol. Really doing the work on the AI agent side, so I love it. Now we're going to skip down. The second one is institutional. In a formal filing, CoinShares company references CoinShares physical staked Algorand, and the numbers show growth year over year. This is a different kind of signal than a viral tweet. In the tables of certificate liabilities, CoinTable's physical staked Algorand moves from 5,015 in 2023 to 18,386 in 2024, which is a 266.6% increase. Whatever your market view is, that is not nothing. So I think that's I think those are two pretty good signals. Like I said, coming from somebody who typically tweets about Hedera, and he was sharing something from Baron of Loxley, which I think is one of the accounts we follow on here. Asher Minx says, transactions have totaled more than $3 billion on Algo, and these transactions will 10x at least through agentic payments. I agree, one penny per transaction. It's actually quite a bit less than one penny per transaction. Assuming that's what they charge, $300 million of revenue of flow. No, it's not even close to that. It's really like fractions of a penny. But I still think that's going to be a huge unlock. A couple more things Para Wallet here. Catch all the updates from 2026 at our latest Para Monthly Update. Let's see what they had to say. Let's see. Looking for something. A lot of bug fixes. A lot of improved connects. All right, for some reason, I thought there was more. What's next? Joint accounts coming, multi-sig wallets, improved transaction and wallet connect displays, virtual bank accounts. Very curious what that's going to be. That could have used a little more explanation, actually, I think. Backup system and React Native migration. So lots of stuff coming for Para. Asher Mink says Algo will exceed Bitcoin market cap. That's a bold prediction. Greenblue says when I start... You know, first you got to get in the top five. That's what, remember top five by 2025, still waiting for that. Green Blue says, when I started trying vibe code something with Grok or Gemini, it kept pointing me to ICP for what I wanted to do. Would consider picking some up, if not my altcoin PTSD. Asher Mink says, I'm saying they can charge 1 cent. I know they don't charge that now. Well, you know, Hedera increased their fees too, so... It's not impossible. They can do it. However, there is a problem because right now the smart contract, or I'm sorry, the transaction price is actually hard coded into the smart contracts. So every dApp would have to completely rewrite their code. Again, not impossible, but it could be frustrating. Anyway, I think that's what we got for Algorand today. I appreciate you guys tuning in. We got HBAR and Chainlink next. Ooh, I think we're going to hit a record for live viewers. That's pretty neat. If you have not hit the like button already, if you like our Algorand segment or you're looking forward to our Hedera segment, go ahead and hit that like button. And like I said, you don't have to smash it. You can actually just press it gently and it works just fine that way too. Also, if you're not a subscriber yet, well, I don't know what the heck you're waiting for. We do these on Tuesdays and Fridays, and then we take video clips from them during the week. So always something to be watching. We got you covered. Ooh, we got a lot of really cool stuff coming up. Is there a connection between Hedera and Starling? This news makes the case that that could be coming very soon, and we're going to explain why. This comes from Marco, who we just shared in the last segment. Got some very interesting things going on here, so why don't we take a look at this? Starling and Deutsche Telekom are building coverage rails. DLT could become the trust rail behind them. Deutsche Telekom and Starlink is not a crypto headline, but it could become a Web3 infrastructure story over time. Deutsche Telekom is a Hedera Governing Council member, and Telekom just announced that starting in 2028, it will complement its mobile network with satellite connectivity from Starlink to close remaining coverage gaps in Europe. On the surface, this is just connectivity. Under the hood, it expands the addressable space for IoT, remote telemetry, machine data in places were previously hard to reach. When coverage expands, the next bottleneck becomes trust. Who is the device? Is the data authentic? Was it altered? Can it be audited? This is where DLT can become a quiet backend later, not for hype, for integration, audit trails, identity, and settlement. Now, another piece, WISeKey's Sealcoin project has been positioned around transactional IoT. It has referenced Hedera's DLT as the underlying infrastructure. SealSQ has also publicly referenced collaboration and partnerships around Hedera, focused on security and hardware-level trust. You can start to see the potential stack forming. So, this is a very plausible architecture path, not set in stone by any means, but a very interesting linkage where this could happen. And that's just some of the stuff we've got. You know, I one thing I'll say about Marco, he's got the ISO 20022 thing in there, which kind of frustrates me sometimes, but let's go back and see what else we got here. And more solid news, some great news from Hashpack. Tides don't lie. Pack is approaching Kraken listing waters. Global access and liquidity are closer than they appear. A major step towards connecting PAC to one of the world's most trusted exchanges, reinforcing our commitment to real utility, long-term alignment, and sustainability growth. Drop a little octopus thing if you can feel it. Is that what that is? I always wondered. Anyway, as we shared, PAC was like taking off on this potential news, so... which was really nice to see. That is not all we got. This is kind of a long one, so we're not gonna listen to this whole thing. Maybe we'll listen to this live. But hosted by Mance Harmon, featuring new council member FedEx with Dale Christie, business fellow and blockchain strategist, they talk about why FedEx joined DLT in the global logistics. What's next, and how Hedera fits at global scale. And we learned that digital supply chains don't just scale when adding more technologies. They scale when they trust scales. They scale when trust scales. The future of global supply chains is digital. That is Dale Christie, who's a business fellow and blockchain strategist. So, yeah, that would be an interesting one to watch. We should check that out more. What's up? YCAT's giving us a big shout out. Appreciate you being in here. This I think we can watch because this is only 2 minutes. This is The Future is Tokenized by Hedera. This is from the Executive Roundtable, and this is Lehman Baird dropping some alpha here. Let's see what he has to say.
Some people are doing that, gold and silver and real estate and so on, being tokenized on Hedera. But we need a lot of infrastructure of the pyramid below that. So what do you need? Hey, I can tokenize my house and sell it. Okay, but how do they know that that's actually, this token really does apply to your house? You need the country itself to be doing registries. And Hedera has this MOU with the country of Georgia to start doing things like registries. You have to have that. The tip of the pyramid is, hey, we can tokenize things like property. But unless you have the national registries and these other things happening, it becomes very difficult to...
Yeah, you have to be really careful about tokenization. One thing, so I used Lofty on Algorand a while ago, and one of the biggest problems was you think you're buying a tokenized version of the real estate, and what you're really buying is a separate token. While that gives you ownership, the token traded at a very different price. It had its own market essentially, and it traded at a very different price than than the actual property did. So the property was increasing in value while the token was decreasing in value because the tokens, no one, they had their own separate AMM. So they were making their own market. So I think that was a huge mistake on Lofty's part and made it like pretty much unusable. So I totally went away from that. So I think when you talk about tokenization, I think there's a huge potential. It has a lot of potential, but it has to be implemented correctly.
Prove that this token really does represent the thing it's tokenizing. So you need that. And then how are you going to buy and sell things? Well, you have to be able to buy and sell for money in some sense. You need stable coins. You need stable coins as the lubricant to make the whole system work. Yeah. And so you have Project Acacia in Australia where they're doing things like stable coins. And maybe someday we have CBDCs. There's all sorts of things that you do where you're tokenizing the money so that you can have the lubrication to make the system working. And then just goes on. We're talking about, well, who's going to be doing the buying and selling? Humans? Sure. AIs? We have people like Equity Lab that are doing, how do you trust the AIs? And we're using Hedera for that. So I won't go through all the answers, but this pyramid is enormous. And the bottom line is that we are seeing real people in the real world building each piece of this pyramid on Hedera right now, which is leading us to the future where everything is tokenized.
That is very interesting. This appears to be a shout out with Ryan Solomon of Genfinity, having a talk with him. Definitely a friend of the channel. I like the stuff he's doing. Great stuff. And we've been in talks. We were in talks a while ago to do some stuff together. Hasn't materialized, but at some point I would like to partner up with him on something. He does some great work, and you should definitely follow his stuff.
Who wants to go next with a milestone?
I'll double click on what Lehman said. I think the race to tokenization is on, right? Across the board, every single asset in the world is going to be tokenized. And the sooner you are, the better you are as an asset manager, for example, or as an identity provider, or as a cash management company, the sooner you tokenize, the better, because you're going to benefit from that technology. I think, you know, today, if you're in the community and you're wondering, where should I invest my time? I would definitely invest my time into what does it take to tokenize an asset and make it available to a lot of people in the world so those people can interact with this asset. It's not a blockchain discussion anymore. It's a tokenization discussion. And I'm going to leave it to when we were in Sibos a few weeks ago, I was expecting Sibos to be the typical financial industry conference where everybody was talking about payments and AI. And the majority of the discussions were tokenization. Tokenization of cash, of currencies, of assets, of real estate. It was just about tokenization. So the race is on.
Yeah, I think that's really very interesting. I think one of the things that people really have to talk about, though, is like the structure of how these things are tokenized. Like I said, with Lofty, it was just kind of it just kind of didn't work the way I wanted it to. And I'll tell you, like, I got in hot water with them. They're not happy with me. Alpha Arcade loves me, even though it's the same company. I don't really get it. But I just stopped using Lofty because I just don't think it works right. You have to have... It has to like truly be tied to that asset. It can't have its own market. That was a huge, huge loss, in my opinion, for Lofty. So I know this is the Hedera segment, but like a lot of this stuff is getting built on Hedera. And I hope they learn the lessons of that, because it's supposed to be tied to the real value of real estate. The idea of being behind real estate is that you get to, for a small amount of money, you can participate in the real estate ecosystem without having to have, you know, $300,000 or even like $30,000 to put down on a rental property or something, right? In reality, it just didn't work out the way they wanted to, because I think they made some mistakes. And you have to really think about that when you talk about tokenization, because like that's not the whole story. So anyway, I thought that was a really interesting thing to react to and listen to. I do think tokenization is the future. We just have to be really, really careful about how we do it. So I thought this was interesting, and this came from my man DB Crypto. I can't figure out why retail won't touch Web3 when you haven't seen mass adoption. I'm absolutely stumped. Why a crypto trader gets sandwich attacked while making a stablecoin swap, losing over 2015 to an MEV bot. Now this is front running, and it's a way that it happens on Solana a lot. There's a way to, I'll be honest, I don't fully understand the technical details, but it's a way to front run the transactions and basically take a lot of money for yourself. Credible here says Hedera literally fixes this. MEV attacks are not possible on Hedera. And I believe that is true of both Hedera and Algorand, because of instant finality, especially on Algorand, has instant finality, can't happen. And because of the way the ledger works, they're timestamped. The DLT is timestamped. It also can't happen on Hedera. So I thought that was worth a quick little shout out, not a huge piece of news or anything. Big news for Dovu. And you know, we saw Dovu actually crash today, which I thought was surprising. They just got listed on Kraken. Dovu generated 58 million in trading volume on SaucerSwap in 2025, up 67% from 2024, and they hit 100 million total trade volume of all time. I think that's a lot for one coin on Hedera. Now it says this on-chain activity is driven by real-world demand for the Dovu utility token, which creates trading volume on SaucerSwap, the dominant DeFi protocol on Hedera network. Now imagine how much volume they're going to get total once they're listed on Kraken and that starts cooking. I mean, I think it's going to be huge. That's the same one. One more for you. Did you know that HBAR is used by NATO through Neutron World and Project Diana? Palantir uses Hedera through Equity Lab. Even during war, Hedera Hashgraph is the most powerful technology used by the world's leading organizations and government. Epic future is ahead. I think that's pretty neat. Not much to say about that. I really think DLT usage is going to surge in the future. Hedera just having win after win with partnerships, with enterprise adoption, and they really focused on that. I know they said last year they were going to focus a little more on retail as well, because a lot of enterprise wants to see that. But I think a lot of the partnerships that they were putting in place came to fruition in 2025. Absolute fire year for them. And I'm pretty bullish on HBAR. And that caps our Hedera segment. I appreciate you guys tuning in for that. I'll take the headphones off and let's see what else we got. A lot of comments, a lot of arguments about Algorand and payments and X402 going back and forth. Very interesting. I'm getting a lot of comments. I don't know where all these XRP comments are coming from. I didn't have XRP in my description. I mentioned it like briefly on the stream. And I don't know what that's all about. But yeah, we got one more coming up. We got our Chainlink segment. Got any Chainlink fans in the audience here? And I don't know, which one should we lead off with? Gary's OG here. Thanks for being a rock in the blockchain space. Appreciate that, my friend. Absolute fire. Boy, I got like almost no views on X. I used to get like, I would get like hundreds sometimes. That's gone. Oh well. Like I said, I'd rather have it on YouTube. By the way, if you have not hit the like button already, I absolutely appreciate that. So if you wouldn't mind hitting that, as I always say, you don't have to smash it. You can just press it gently. And just a reminder that we are live on X, on Kick, on Twitch, and on YouTube, and that this is available as a podcast. So if you want to listen after the fact, you can check that out by listening. Green Blue says I broke 100. Oh, nice. I hadn't looked when I was in the middle of my HBAR segment, but that's cool. I'd hope to do that. I'll have to take a look at the stream later. That's really cool. Well, we'll wrap up this Chainlink segment and then I think we will call it a day. But I appreciate everyone tuning in. Hope everyone is doing well out there. I'm going to take a quick peek at the markets to see if there's any change in the last hour. Not really. Nah, pretty much the same. Nothing too exciting. I forgot to mention last time the fear index is at 20. So it's actually, that might sound bad, but we're actually in the fear instead of extreme fear. Asher Minx says best reliability and enterprise grade use algo. TurboDump says agentic payments seem to be a use case for algo for sure. I think they're going to be great for algo, for Hedera, for any low fee and fast blockchain. I think agentic payments are going to shoot the transactions through the roof, which should be a saving grace for a lot of coins. Okay, I got Chainlink to get through, and then we will call it a day. Drink a little water. A little water mixed with a little Powerade. The zero kind, I can't drink the regular stuff. All right, Chainlink has become one of the most deeply embedded pieces of infrastructure in crypto. I'm just reading that sentence directly because I think it's 100% true. This is from Delphi Digital. We're going to look at the dominance of Chainlink in the Oracle market. It's just one of the biggest players in the space and really solving a very unique problem of reliable data feeds. Let's take a look at this and see what this has to say. Right from Delphi Digital, Chainlink has become one of the most deeply embedded pieces of infrastructure in crypto. It controls the majority of the Oracle market by TVS and connects over 75 blockchains through the CCIP. Many major TradFi tokenization pilots from UBS to Swift is running through it. Lido managed its entire cross-chain infrastructure. I'm sorry, migrated its entire cross-chain infrastructure to CCIP. The question has been whether that translates into revenue. Smart value recapture and Chainlink Reserve are the first real mechanisms that tie network usage to value capture, which I think is super smart. You know, we talked about the Chainlink Reserve. We talk about it just about every time we do a Chainlink segment. They're taking off-chain revenues, and this is one of the things I think is really sets Chainlink apart, is Chainlink will do, well, has these services for, you know, non-crypto services for different companies and stuff in TradFi and just regular companies, and then they take that revenue now and they put it on-chain, they buy Chainlink with it in a Chainlink Reserve, and it's been growing and growing. They just, it's taking that coin off the market, taking those revenues and putting them on-chain. Absolutely fire idea, and I think we need to see this more from more companies. Anyway, it says both are live and showing early traction, but they still need to continue scaling beyond where they were today, and they keep scaling, so I think that's absolutely true and wonderful. Totally agree with that. Chainlink's value depends on institutional tokenization happening at scale. For those who believe that's coming, it's hard to find infrastructure that's better positioned. And look at this, look at this chart. This is Chainlink. Let's see, if I pull this up, what's that going to look like? Can I get this all on screen? Kind of. There's Chainlink, next followed by Chronicle. Just all the others at 7%, internal 6%, Pyth, I think it's Pyth, right? At 6%, yeah, I haven't seen Pyth in a while. People used to talk about that one, I don't hear anything anymore. And then Redstone at 4%. So Chainlink taking 64% of that value for Oracle providers, representing $41.1 billion. I think that's pretty good. I don't think that's something you can shake a stick at, really. So that's just one huge piece of the Chainlink news, but I think we got more to cover. Chainlink CCIP is now Adichain's canonical cross-chain solution, backed by IHC, 240+ billion. In an ecosystem that includes BlackRock and MasterCard, AD Foundation partners with Chainlink to power its strategic initiatives and accelerate tokenization across MENA. Just one more partnership win for Chainlink. AD Chain is the first institutional layer 2 for stablecoins and RWAs in MENA. I don't even know what MENA is. Trust by governments, built to bring emerging tech economies on chain by AD Foundation. That's one more piece of news. That was a pretty new piece of news too. Any Monad fans in the chat here? Chainlink connects CBBTC to Monad DeFi, while Chainlink CCIP as the exclusive bridging infrastructure for Coinbase wrapped assets. Monad users can now bridge CBBTC, 5 billion plus in circulation, through cross-chain transfers directly from Base. By the way, not the first Monad Chainlink partnership. We've covered that before, as with Canton as well. Amazing stuff. This one from Zach Ryans. Every week since the launch of the New York Stock Exchange traded Link ETF last December has seen positive inflows. Not a single week of outflows across Grayscale and Bitwise. And that is G-Link and that is C-Link. In case you're wondering, in case you're interested, Link ETFs have already accumulated over 1.2% of the circulating supply in just a couple months. And by the way, this is... you know, we pointed this out on Hedera, the Canary ETF, talked about this, and same thing, like they've accumulated over 1% of the circulating supply of Hedera, and now we've got the exact same thing happening on Link. Here's a total net inflow, and it's positive every week since December 5th, as you can see, up to... Interesting to watch these flow, amounts too, because even on February 27th, only 77.52 million. Generally growing, although it was higher back in January, where I think prices were higher, but But they keep adding more, so that is nothing to shake a stick at. You know, I was surprised. I thought Wall Street was not ready for some of these farther down the market cap table. You know, none of these Hedera or Chainlink. Well, actually, Chainlink is in the... No, it isn't. Anyway, they're pretty far down. You know, they're not in the top 10, that's for sure. Not in the top 15. And yet, Wall Street is interested. There's definitely a strong connection in Wall Street, strong desire for these ETFs. So that's stronger than I expected. I was totally wrong about this. I thought this was interesting too. CBDC, the first wrapped Bitcoin asset on Canton Network, is now powered by the Chainlink data standard. BitSafe adopted Chainlink data streams and proof of reserve to enable advanced use cases for CBTC across the $8 trillion Canton RWA ecosystem. I got to tell you too, don't sleep on Canton. I mean, this thing is already in the top 20. It is generating tons of revenue. And from what my data has shown, I've done some research on this. Coins that tend to bring in a lot of revenue tend to increase in price. And the ones that don't tend to not to. Now, there's exceptions. Polygon has still kind of struggled, even though its revenue has massively increased lately. Hopefully, there's a lag effect, but haven't seen it yet. But for the most part, high revenues correlate to high prices, or high price action, I should say, because, you know, it obviously still follows the macro cycles. But yeah, don't sleep on Canton. I know this is a Chainlink segment, but definitely don't sleep on it. And this too, I think we covered this last time, but Canton Network adopts Chainlink data and data interoperability standards. And by the way, this is the old one. What are they up to now? What is the... Oh, is it frozen again? Hold on a second. Let me unfreeze this, because... Oh. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. People asking about quant, like, well, this isn't a quant segment. Someone talking about Cardano. We're getting a lot of coins in here. Oh, wow, 119. Holy. Okay. I am all frozen up here, but... I guess that's the end of our Chainlink segment. I hope you guys got something out of that. I really think Chainlink has a really powerful niche that it's carved out for itself. You know, it's a very different coin than a lot of the other kinds that we see. You know, it's really doing some very wonderful things with oracles, with interoperability. And I think it's one of the things I wish Algorand would adopt the Chainlink standard. I wish they would participate in the CCIP. I think it's kind of a, considering Chainlink's market share in terms of Oracle networks, I really think they're missing out. And boy, I really want to do extend this Chainlink segment a little more, but I cannot seem to. Here we go. Yeah, let me show you this, because I want to pull this up for a second here. You know, I think it's really important to share the growth of the Chainlink reserve, because I think that's a really cool thing that they're doing. So I just have to scroll down and find it. Ooh, also, before we go, I think this is pretty neat. Chainlink rewards. Claim your rewards today. Chainlink season one. Here's the details. Let's learn a little bit about this. We'll learn something today. We'll learn together. Isn't that fun? We're excited to introduce Chainlink Rewards Season 1, The Next Evolution. This came out in November, by the way, so a little behind the eight ball here. The next evolution of the community engagement and rewards programs that enables Chainlink build projects to make their native tokens claimable by Chainlink ecosystem participants, including eligible Link stakers. Building on the success of Chainlink Rewards Season Genesis, where Space and Time made 100 million XT tokens available to eligible Link stakers, Season 1 features 9 build projects and introduces a more advanced engagement and claiming mechanism. Season 1 will start November, so obviously that's going now, and features The following build projects: Dolomite, Space and Time, XSwap, Bricken, Folks Finance. Hey, there's Folks Finance from our Algorand, Mind Network, Suku, Trueflation, and Bits Crunch. So, you know, we can read all about this. StakeLink earn cubes. Cubes are non-transferable, non-monetary unit of account, similar to credit card points or airline miles, can be redeemed for reward tokens. Interesting. You can allocate cubes. You can visit Rewards Chainlink to view their cubes balance. Begin allocating cubes to projects. Allocating cubes determined which build project tokens a participant can claim. And then on December 6th, oh, this is already old. Dang it. Never mind. I wonder why they're talking about that now. They just posted about that. Oh, for people who claimed it. Oh, I see. Well, that's cool. TurboDump says, I think Chainlink charges a lot for integrations. Yeah. I've heard it's pretty expensive, but you know what? They're also dominating, so I think you kind of have to. Well, we'll keep out. We'll have to keep out for an eye out for Chainlink Season 2. And because it was cool that Folks Finance participated in. Obviously, we're following them. Builder on Algorand, but also using Chainlink to connect to other ecosystems. So anyway, that is all for Chainlink today. Appreciate everyone tuning in for that. Asher Minx says we need a Michael Saylor of Algorand. Scaramucci dropped us and we'll regret it. Yeah, I know it's there really is nobody, which is kind of frustrating. You know, Silvio is pretty old. He founded Algorand, and then he hasn't really been active. I think he's focused on fiat chain and other things. So what are you going to do? Asher Minxing, agentic payments already happening. Is this happening on Solana, Algorand, Ethereum, and Base? It's you know, it's a possibility, but I think wait till the ecosystem really takes off. I mean, we're just getting started with agents. This is the first inning, really. I think Chainlink wanted 8 figures for ADA integration. That's a lot. That's a lot. See if there's anything else interesting to react to. Yeah, someone was bringing up Quant. Oh, someone else says, I tend towards max decentralization. That's why I'm balls deep into Cardano. So the agentic payments seem to be the best use case for Algo for sure. And I think for a lot of low fee, fast chains, I think that'll be a huge unlock for sure. I think we covered most of these things. Well, I don't really have much else. It's always tempted to keep going when you have tons of viewers, but Green Blue says, would fiat chain transactions be verified by Algo nodes? You know, that's interesting because we have not heard anything about fiat chain ever since Silvio Macaulay introduced it. So it would be nice to get an update on that. And it's interesting because I don't know that Algorand themselves would really want to talk about it. I mean, maybe, but I don't see why they would. I don't see why they would want to talk about it. Like, what's their incentive to talk about something that it's supposed to benefit Algorand. It really is, but I don't know if it is. I don't know if it really will. Yeah, we haven't had an update on fiat chain. I wonder if I'm just going to poke around a little bit. Fiat chain. Yeah, when I search for it on X, a lot of my own posts come up. Yeah, otherwise, pretty quiet. Not a lot of stuff going on there. Asher is going to make node rewards on Euro transactions. Interesting. Yeah, the problem is if you search latest, can I put a quote in here? Sorry, I'm like searching for fiat chain because I really am curious. Maybe I'll tweet about that later. This account called Moonbase Algo has been talking about it. Sylvia McCauley's fiat chain is a market DLT specifically geared toward the types of use cases ECB Ponce is designed to support. I don't know what that means. Yeah, basically it was supposed to be this layer between crypto and institutions that may not want to get involved with crypto. I think a lot of that is around the regulatory issues, though. And, you know, with Clarity Act about to be signed, I think that might be moot. Green Blue says, I assume that fiat chain is directed at the Euro CBDC. No, what it was supposed to be is it was supposed to be a layer between crypto and the companies. Turbo says, Ashley, are you a bot or just really enthusiastic? I think Asher is really enthusiastic. That's what I would say. All right. Well, you know what? I think we're going to end things here. I appreciate everyone tuning in. Thanks so much for watching or listening. If you're, listening on the podcast later, I should make sure to shout out for people who are listening too. Thanks for listening on the podcast. And if you are listening on the podcast, please do give it a 5-star rating. We always appreciate that. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. Like I said, we'll be back on Friday, and I will see you.